The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we look at the healings that Jesus did here on earth while he was walking this earth, it's good to see them as road signs pointing to the great healing that is to come, the ultimate healing that would be affected by his work on the cross. For what was it that happened upon the cross? The cross is the culmination of Jesus repairing the rift between God and man, repairing the problems caused by the fall into sin. By his perfect life, by his innocent suffering and death, Jesus paid for the price of the sin of the world. And his resurrection on Easter Sunday proves that God the Father is well pleased with Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. God is pleased with the redeeming work of Jesus. You know, as the hymn goes, "Fought the fight, the battle won. God's redeeming work is done. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Lo, he sets in blood no more." Christ has won the victory. Spiritually, our life is in Christ. Our life is joined together in Christ. Spiritually, we are now citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Now our sins are forgiven. Now we have eternity as a gift to us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father. Still, as I mulled over this text and I thought about it, I know people who are still fighting the ailments of the body. You know people who are still fighting the ailments of the body. And people who are battling the weaknesses of the flesh. So it seemed important to me to also look past the spiritualizing effects of the Messiah that he has upon us. Yes, it is important to proclaim the truths of original sin, that in Adam's sin, all mankind fell. And not just all mankind, but all creation was marred. All creation fell in Adam's sin. Adam's fall had real physical consequences for humanity. Man now earned his food by the sweat of his brow. A woman would have pain in childbirth. The earth was beset with pain and disease and sickness and death. Death comes upon that which was created to be immortal. So we have the prophet Isaiah telling us that the Messiah will come to save us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame shall leap like the deer, the deaf, the mute shall sing, and for joy. And creation will be restored. The Messiah, in the person and work of Jesus Christ, birthed through the firmament of the heavens, crossing over from eternity into our world, and declaring himself in time. Jesus performing miracles is nothing less than the Word of creation made flesh, overcoming the brokenness of the world. Jesus is not performing miracles to show that he is only curing things spiritual, but that also he is repairing the physical world too. That has massive implications for us. The world around us, our own physical nature, is affected by the fall into sin. Life comes from death. So we are looking forward to a recreation. We are looking forward to the new heavens, the new earth, that time when our flesh and bones will be minus the defects of sin. John had preached that the coming one was near. We can hear his fiery preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's breaking forth into history. And as it does, the Messiah is separating the wheat from the chaff. He is separating it out to save the wheat, and the chaff he will throw into the fire, which will be burned with unquenchable flame. Yet, where is John? Where is John in all of this? John sits in prison. He languishes in prison for preaching out against Herod. Herod, who had married his brother's wife. Herod, who was a vicious and violent ruler. Clearly, John gets visitors. Those disciples of his who come to converse with him. But things don't seem right. Is Jesus the Messiah? If Jesus is the Messiah, where is the glory that is to come? Where is everything that is supposed to be done? The ushering in of the kingdom, making all things new again. John is wondering, where is the unquenchable fire? Where is the punishment directed at the chaff? And this leaves this firebrand of a preacher momentarily perplexed. And so he sends his disciples to ask the question, are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? Expressing the concerns is nothing new for the prophets. In Exodus chapter 5, Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. And even Elijah, remember him battling the prophets of Baal when they were trying to see which God would light the sacrifice on fire? Right? And he defeats the prophets of Baal, and then he orders them to be put to death. And then he gets scared, and he hightails it out of there. He takes off running, and he goes out into the wilderness, and he flings himself onto the ground eventually out of exhaustion. And he says, It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life from me, for I am no better than my fathers. And so the prophets have always had this question, are we doing this right? Things don't look like I'm expecting them to look. And when they don't look like what they're expected to look like, then we get frustrated and we get concerned and we get worried and we think, are we doing the things right? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Is all of this true? Is all of this going to work out the way the Lord says it's going to work out? So John's question is a real one. Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? The question Jesus gives. John asks the question. Jesus gives the answer. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. Here is fulfilled what Isaiah writes. Behold, your Savior, your God will come. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame man shall leap like the deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. Yes, you, right along with John, live in a paradox. You live in the now, not yet. Jesus did come to make all things new. He signaled his mission to repair that which was marred by sin. He came to defeat death, hell, and the devil. And he's not going to do that with legions of angels. He will do it by paying the blood price for sin, by dying, by rising, by ascending, all with the promise of return in all of his glory. Yes, I'd normally say that the healings of Jesus point to the cross. They point to the great healing that Jesus is going to effect, the healing of the release from sin and the forgiveness of the sin that besets we ourselves and the entire world. And that is true till today. We live in the now, not yet. But today, let's think of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. when he will return in power and might and glory, and this time he will be accompanied by the angel legions, and he's going to make all things new. All evil will be done away with. The scars of a world that is languishing in sin will be healed. All pain and suffering will be vanquished, and we shall be transformed as the hills, rocks, and plains repeat the sounding joy. The animal kingdom will be at peace. No more will the waves of the sea create havoc, and instead they will be truly placid. Then we ourselves will be as God intended us to be. No pain, no suffering, no weakness, no battling against the sins that beset us. Everything will be joy and bliss and perfection for the redeemed of God. All Jesus' healings point to the great unmarring of the world, and that is what we long for. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we long for Jesus to come back so that we will be filled with joy and life. We are created for glory. We are created for communion with God. In Christ, we have that right now, but it is not fully revealed. So we, like John, wait for the day of glory, and when it comes, we will be transformed. Our bodies, our souls, our minds, we will experience the glory that is ours from the foundations of the world, and we will be as we are truly meant to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.